Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Advisor. My name is Lisa Urbanski, co-host of the show. And today we're going to be talking about something that a lot of people struggle with. I know I do all the time, and that is setting emotional boundaries. We tend to want to say no. Sometimes we do say no, and then we feel crappy after. We want to talk about how to get rid of the crappy feeling that comes with. It's like an emotional guilt hangover in a sense. And it's so important that we do build those boundaries because we can't say yes to everything and we need to align with who we are. And who better to speak to on this topic than our guest today, Sagar Constantine. So she is the best-selling Danish author of the Addictive In-Between novel. So international speaker, business psychology consultant, who turns big, messy feelings into simple, actionable upgrades. She really writes stories that wake you up, and then she trains thousands each year on emotional intelligence, change management, and high performance teamwork, all with a sprinkle of that Scandinavian straight talk. So, welcome, welcome back. How are you doing today?
Very good, and thank you so much. And I love what you say, big messy feelings. But that's what we're going to talk about today, because that is definitely what happens when we try to say no. These emotions, they just overflood inside of us. So yeah, well, I'm very good, and it's great to be back.
Yeah, it's good to see you. It's good to see you. And as I was speaking about like saying no, the guilt hangover, I'm picturing like a puddle of emotions and like all of those feelings and all those things that come into your mind. It's difficult, and it's especially these days with so many competing things. You and I were discussing your life right now and all the busyness of it and the work that you're doing, and I can only imagine your struggle with saying no, because you're trying to prioritize these important things in your life, but you're also driven and you want to help more people and you want to do, you love your work. So yeah, how's that going for you on a personal
Well, I'm a champion in saying no. No.
level?
But I learned the hard
Episode
way.
over. No.
It's for me, it's always hard to say no if I know my help is needed. If I can see that I can help people, it's really hard for me to say no. And usually I don't. I don't say no if people need my help, but I will tell them how I can help them and how much time I can spare, or if it's going to be later, it can't be right now, it can be next week. So, when you say no, it ha doesn't have to be like no, never, ever. It can also be, well, right now it's not possible, but I can help you on Monday or on Wednesday or in a month, when I have time. And can you wait for that? Because that is what I can offer. So we really have to look at what is possible if we want to help other people, but still we also have to remember, if you never ever say no, you're going to lose yourself, and then you can't help anybody. Then I mean, who can you help if you don't know how to help yourself and set boundaries, and you get lost on your way, and you're too much out helping others, so you forget yourself, and you have stress, or you feel overwhelmed, or whatever it is. So really, saying no and setting boundaries is a balance in life. And sometimes we say no too fast, and then we have to think about it and maybe redo our no. And other times we don't set boundaries and we regret it and we learn from it, hopefully. But setting boundaries and saying no is respecting yourself, and it's making other people respect you and your time and your qualification as well. So if you always say yes, people will lose respect. So that is also very important to remember. If you're just a pleaser and you always say yes, and you bend over and you stretch yourself and you let go of yourself and your own values, then people won't respect your help. But if they can feel that you will stretch and you will support them, and you respect yourself and you respect other people, they will respect you back, and they will be grateful in another way. So the more value you want to add to your help, the more respect you also have to pay to yourself.
Absolutely. Can you maybe define what emotional boundaries is for the audience?
Absolutely. Well, an emotional boundary is where you take care of yourself and you look out for your own emotions and you don't let other people's emotions get inside of you. For let's say that somebody needs help. It can be a work, it can be a relative, it can be family, whatever. And just imagine that you're out on a boat and it's like this person that needs help. They're in the water, they're about to drown. And what you do is you jump in the water with them because that's the only way you can feel what they're feeling. So there, now you're in the water together, but you can't help them because now you're both drowning in all those emotions because you're not setting emotional boundaries. So what you need to do is you need to stay on the boat and throw them out, some support so they can grab onto that and you can pull them back to the boat. But if you jump in the water with them, you haven't set healthy boundaries for your emotions. And that's when you're drowning in other people's emotion. That we often do that. We take over the emotion from other people. We believe that if you have an emotion you can't deal with and you tell me about it, I need to feel the same, or I need to hold it and carry it for you. That is a mistake. It's your emotion. You have to deal with it. And I don't want to carry it. I will support you, but I'm not going to carry your emotions because we can influence each other with emotions and they spread really fast, especially negativity that spreads really, really fast. So if I'm upset and negative, it's three times faster to spread it to you than if I'm happy, that is much slower. So we really have to be careful with emotions, that we take care of our own emotions and we don't throw them on other people to carry or take care of or deal with for us because it's not their business. Your emotions are your business. You have to deal with them. And saying no to emotions and having emotional barriers really just simply means that I will support you, but I won't carry your emotions for you. You have to do the work yourself.
I spent like 10 years of my life in my 20s because people are drawn to me. They tell me their issues. That's just my personality. And then, but what I would do is I would try and fix it. Even in my relationships, like I would feel that I want to make them feel better, and then I was trying to fix it. And then I'm like so drained because that's not my job. But as you learn and get older and realize that, your job is to hear people, empathize, and then you can maybe guide them in a direction, but essentially you have to let people process and deal with it in their own healthy way. It is no one's job but our own to deal with our own emotion, right? But that can be really difficult. And I did this interesting social study where I posted a negative post on to share with me things that irritate you. Do you know how many people commented on that post? It was like, that's crazy. I'm like, if I want to go viral, I got to turn into the most pessimistic person in this world. And then I did one on share your wins, and it was like three people said something. And it was so interesting. So what you said about the negativity spreads like wildfire, it really is true, but it's so unfortunate, like, because positivity does as well. Like when I'm around a positive person, I just like feel just extra light and airy. But yeah, it's crazy.
It is crazy, but it's very much to do with our brain and how our brain works, because our brain looks for survival all the time. And even though that in the time that we live in, it's not that dangerous. I know there's many dangers out there, but it's not the same as 100,000 years ago when we were on the savannah, where the brain was developed. And the brain is developed to survive. So it's much easier and it's cheaper for the brain to look for danger than to look for good things, because the danger will kill you. The good thing is just an add-on. So even though that we know all this, we by instinct, it's easier and much faster for the brain to complain and look for what it doesn't like and spread negativity than to spread positivity. We really have to practice and to rewire our brains to do that. But the brain is wired to complain and look for danger. And in order to survive. So that is the explanation of why it's so much easier and cheaper for the brain to complain instead of taking responsibility, for example. And when I'm saying it's cheaper, it's because the brain is using glucose to function. So the amount of glucose it uses is a lot less when you complain and you're negative than the amount that it takes of energy for the brain to actually be positive until you have made those new pathways in the brain. So we can actually practice that. So, but it's quite interesting. And also with emotions, as you say, we have to deal with our own emotions. But as you were talking about, I was just thinking about a study I just saw recently where you can actually see how much the intake of different kinds of drugs, including cigarettes and drugs and stuff, is just going up and up and up and up in the world, which means that that is a way of dealing with your emotions. So if we cannot contain our emotions, if I feel depressed, if I feel sad, if I don't feel good enough, using drugs is just a way of numbing myself and escaping for what I can't cope with inside. And it's such a shame because emotions, all emotions, are beautiful and needed in order to live a full life. We have seven basic emotions, and we need all of them to have a full life and to feel all the different stuff that is great to feel. So in order to be happy, we also need to be able to be sad. And if we don't feel that difference, then you're just numb in the middle. And the more you shut off your emotions, the more numb you become inside. And then all that's left is your thinking and your thoughts and of course your behavior. But you're not rooted in your emotions and in your body, which is a shame. But we can do that with drugs, and all statistics just point to that the intake of drugs all over the world is just going up. But we can also do it with work. If you work and work and work and you don't feel yourself, you don't stop, you don't set boundaries, then you can't feel yourself. If you run, go for a run every day, a marathon two or three times a week, or half a marathon, same thing. You can't feel yourself, you numb yourself. If you socialize too much and you're always with somebody, you never have time by yourself to feel yourself and reconnect, then you're not connected to your emotions. So there's many different ways that we escape our emotions and hide them, because we don't know how to deal with these emotions. And that is really sad, because dealing with our emotions is just one of the things of being human, and to live a fully life where we're satisfied, we're happy, we have a high level of energy and empathy and happiness. So it's such a big shame that many people numb themselves and can't feel their emotions.
Totally. And as you were saying that, like when you said people are turning to drugs when they're feeling something, I'm picturing that emotion just being shoved into the body and stored somewhere. And then that's where disease comes in, right? So the more we run from our emotion, the more we're not processing it, the more we're not sitting still, as you say, that stuff builds up in the body and it manifests in different ways, just like stress.
Absolutely.
So it's very, very important. So, Sagar, I would love for you to maybe share an example, maybe working with a client where you helped them develop a boundary. Like, how do we develop a boundary? Because it's easy to say you need boundaries. Okay, well, how? How do I build this boundary? Like, do I need to build a wall? Like, do I need to get some supplies? Like, how do we do it?
Well, let's dive a little bit into the toolbox to understand what does this setting boundaries mean. Because the first thing we need to understand is if we don't set a boundary, it's because we fear something. So if I don't set a boundary, it's because there's something I'm afraid of. It can be many different things. It can be how you react. I'm afraid that you're going to shout at me. I'm afraid that you're not going to talk to me for a month. I'm afraid that you're not going to like me. I'm afraid that you're not going to ask me out again. Whatever it is, we need to work out what is it I'm afraid of, since I'm not setting this healthy boundary, looking after myself and also looking after you in a way. So what is it I fear? That is the major first thing to do. And it's so crucial that we stop and ask ourselves, if I'm not setting a boundary, it is because I'm afraid of something. We can't fool ourselves there. That is just the case. So if you're not afraid of anything, you will set a boundary. The next thing is what I call the boomerang effect. Because if you work out what you're afraid of, what can sometimes happen is if I, for example, if you call me, Lisa, or write me and say, "Hey, Sagar, will you be on the podcast next week?" And I say, "Well, thank you so much for asking, but I'm so busy, I can't make it." And your reply is, "Well,
And then
there you
cry.
go."
No, I'm just kidding.
No. Now you're using the boomerang. You're going to say to me, "I'm not going to ask you ever again if you can't make it next week." So I was setting a boundary to you, but you set a boundary back, right? So
Right.
that is the boomerang. So let's say in a relationship, what it usually looks like is that I'm going to ask you, "Oh, can you help me out with the dishes?" And you're going, "Why are you so upset?" And I'm like, "What happened there?" But that's also a boomerang because I'm asking you for something, you don't want to do it, and then you just push it back to me and just blame me for being something I'm not. So if I say, "No, I can't help you with the dishes," you're going like, "Why are you so angry today?" Or, "Why are you doing this and this and this?" You're always pointing something back to me that you know that I don't like. So when you set a boundary and the other person don't like it, they can throw something back at you that makes you let go of your boundary. And that is what the boomerang does. It makes you want to say, "Oh, I'm sorry I put that boundary. I didn't mean it. Of course I'm going to do this," or "Of course I'm going to help you," or "Don't worry about me. It's all about you now." So the
Right. Yeah.
boomerang is so tricky because if we are not aware of the boomerang trick, you will let go of the boundary that you just set. So
It's
that's
like
it.
a slingshot. It's like hitting a wall and then breaking it down immediately.
And you might think, "Well, I'm trying practicing setting boundaries," and then somebody does the boomerang and you're like, "Oh, can't do it."
I did it. Oh, wait, I didn't.
Exactly. So that's the mechanism. First, look at your fear and then look out for the boomerang because it will hit you right back. And then you have to take a deep breath and just say, "Well, I'm going to stick to my boundary here." And just let people do the boomerang. Don't let go of yourself and don't get into what they're saying. Because if you begin to discuss it or convince them, "I'm not angry," then you have lost. So you just smile at them and say, "Well, I don't think I'm
Whatever.
angry. Whatever, whatever." Just smile, And then you can hold on to your boundary. But as soon as you engage with what they're saying, you have lost. And then you're definitely going to let go of the boundary that you just set. So look at the fear. Look at what could the boundary be. And if there, or the boomerang, and if there's a boomerang that goes back to you, just watch it. Don't interact with it. Don't say anything back to this person. Just smile and take a deep breath. And then afterwards comes the emotions that we were talking about, all these big, messy emotions. Because usually, when we set a boundary, we know that when we set boundaries, we say no to another person and we reject another person. And nobody likes to be rejected. And that is also why we don't set boundaries, because I don't want to do to you what I don't like other people doing to me. But what we have to remember is if I never, ever say no to anybody, I'm just not re rejecting you, but I'm rejecting myself. So when we begin to set boundaries, the best way to do it is to acknowledge the other person. "I really like working with you. I can't help you today, but I can," and then we give a solution. "I can help you next week," or, "I can do it in 2 weeks," whatever it is. So always acknowledge the other person and say, "I like you. I appreciate you. I value you. This over here, I can't do." So we narrow down what we can't do, what this is my boundaries over here, but here I still like you. I still want to be friends, and I still hope we can still talk, and I hope we can still see each other. But this I can't do. And in that way, you don't push people away that hard. It doesn't feel that much as a rejection because you acknowledge the other person before you say, I can't do this. I would love to work with you. Next week doesn't work for me. Can we find another week? So I make the boundary softer because I embrace you and then I say, this is where my boundary is. And that is the best way to do it. And then afterwards, if you then feel a little bit, oh, I shouldn't have said no, and the fear comes back because it usually does, then you embrace it and you look at the fear and you say, well, I'm afraid that you won't ever ask me on your program again. And I just breathe into it and ask myself, okay, so if that's the case, that's the case. There's nothing I can do about it. And then I can let it go. But I look into my fear again afterwards and say, well, there's nothing I can do about it because that's your decision. And I was true to myself and I'm going to stay true to myself. So if you're not going to ask me or call me or whatever again, then maybe we're not supposed to be friends anymore. Maybe we're not supposed to see each other or work together. And I'm sure there are other people I can work with, and there's more work out there with other people that value me instead of working with people that are not valuing you. And the same with friendships. If you keep turning up to events or happenings and you're like, I'm just here because other people expect me to be here, or I said yes 6 months ago. Well, you're allowed to say no. I had a friend, and it was like a new friend. And she was an amazing, and she still is an amazing person. And I really enjoyed our friendship. We known each other for, I think, a year. And she invited me to her wedding. And I was like, well, that's really nice of you. And at that time, I was writing a book, as I am very often. And I was really busy because I had a deadline. And this person, I mean, we were friends, but we weren't that close. So I was also surprised to be invited to her wedding because I wasn't sure I was in her inner circle. But anyway, she invited me and I said yes. And when we got closer to the day of the wedding, I could just see it was really hard for me to make it. But I wanted to go. So, and she lived, quite far away, and I had to go by ferry and car and stuff. So it was a little bit, of a ride to get there. And, so I call her up and I say, I really want to come to your wedding, but I'm also really pressed, under pressure with this deadline. So what I will do is, if it's okay with you, I'll come for the party in the afternoon and, the church and everything, but I will grab the last ferry home because it's really important for me to get home and, be able to work the next day and reach my deadline. And she was so upset that I wasn't staying overnight and staying the whole next day, that she just said, well, then we're not friends anymore and you shouldn't turn up to my wedding at all. And that was definitely a boomerang. Yeah, and I was really surprised because I was being very, very honest. And a friend of mine said this was during just after, in the just in the end of COVID, and she said, why didn't you just play the COVID card and said, you got COVID, you can't come. And I said,
The
I'm not like that. I'm an honest person. It's one of my values. And if people can't deal with my honesty, we can't be friends. I don't want to have friends where I have to keep track of all my lies. I can't do that. So, but of course, afterwards, I was really sad because I like this person. I still like her. And if she called up tomorrow and said, do you want to be friends again? I would say yes, anytime, because she's really a great person. But there's nothing I can do. I won't bend over. I won't change myself. And I'm not going to apologize for being honest. But that was her choice. She didn't want to see me. She was disappointed that I wouldn't stay overnight and stay longer like the rest of the guests. And that's perfectly fine. That is not my business. My business is my boundaries and looking after myself and my time. And that's what I did. But I had to look into my emotions afterward because I was really sad that she reacted in that way. But I just felt my sadness, and I respected her choice, and I respected my own choice, and then my life continued. So that is the way to do it. You have to embrace the emotions that come up when you set a boundary, because if you don't, if you shut down, if you kill it with drugs or food, especially sugar, is people think that
Oh,
sugar
yeah.
is like an innocent thing, but sugar shuts down your emotions just like cigarettes and drugs. It's just like a lighter way to do it. So sugar closes off. You can't feel yourself if you eat too much sugar. So, don't do that. Just embrace the emotions and feel, and then accept, well, this is what I feel. This is my choice. This is my boundary, and I feel good about it. And I'm sorry that, that you react that way, but that is not my business. My business is being true to myself.
100%. I love that you shared that story because as you were speaking, I was like, oh, that was so good of her to do. And I bet you this turned out wonderfully. And she got on the ferry, she went home, and she did her work. But she actually said, don't bother coming.
She did.
So,
She
like, you must have then, like, I know for me, I'm better at it now, but before I would be like, I'd set a boundary. Then I'd get rejected or challenged, boomerang effect. And then I'd be like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Okay, I'll do it. Right. But in your case, you said, I can only do this. You set your boundary. She said, don't come. And then you didn't go, but you stuck to what you needed to do. What was that like? Like, there must have been a part of you that wanted to say, okay, I'll come. I don't know. How did that go in your mind when that happened? Do you remember?
Yeah, sure, I do, because that's the thing with things, events that where you have been emotional engaged, we remember it. That's also why, when you do a talk or something, when you share a story, we remember because we can relate to the emotion. So when something happens where you're challenged in your emotions, you remember it much clearer than if you weren't engaged in your emotions. And I must say, I didn't think at all changing my mind, because I was so true to myself and my values and my way of living that this wasn't my it wasn't mine. It was her, and it was her emotions, and whatever she did, I wasn't going to change my mind. And the thing is, when I told her, she was like, okay, see you. Okay, I hear what you're saying. And then 10 minutes later, she called me back and said, don't bother coming. So, it was like, it just sunk in for her. And then she called me back and said, don't bother coming. And I said, well, I said to her, if you want to meet again, you'll reach out to me. I'm not going to reach out to you because it's your decision. You don't want me to come. So if you ever want to see me again, you call me or you write me. I'm going to keep your present because I have your present right here. I'm going to keep
Right.
it. And next time I hopefully see you, you can have your present. But, it's been 2 or 3 years now, and I haven't heard from her. And I don't think I will hear from her anyway, because
Wow.
she was so sad, and she really wanted me to come. But I would have come, but I would also have left before she thought it was appropriate to leave.
Right.
But that's not my business. I would love to go, and I would love to spend all day there, even though I didn't know anybody. I would turn up at 9 in the morning, and I would leave at 10 in the evening. And I think for me, that's a full day,
Yeah.
with people I don't know. And but that wasn't enough. But I didn't feel any guilt. I felt sad, and that's the thing with emotions. Sometimes you can fall through layers of emotions. First, if something happens, you can become upset. But just beneath the anger, there's sadness, and beneath the sadness, there can be a little bit of fear. And so you can fall through these different layers. And when you work with emotions, it becomes easier and easier to deal with your emotion and accept your emotions. And that's the thing with the emotions. If you don't accept your emotions, you fight them. So there's only acceptance or fighting. And usually we fight, or we just compress them. I usually say that many people, if they don't want to feel their emotions, it's like they put them into like Pokemon balls. We all know
Yeah.
what a Pokemon balls looks like, and you put your emotion into this Pokemon ball, and then you hide it away. But then you become challenged, and it just starts to rumble, you know, and suddenly this monster comes flying out of this ball, and you're not familiar with it, and it takes over your body and your whole system, and then the emotion runs you instead of you running the emotions or taking care of the emotion. So when we're overwhelmed by emotions, they take over and decide our behavior and how we're going to deal with the situation. So instead of just compressing the emotion into a Pokemon ball, we should hold it up and go like, okay, I'm sad. And then breathe into it and then look at it and say, okay, it's okay to be sad because now I lost a good friend. Of course, I'm sad. And then I can be sad until I'm not sad anymore. And I can expand the sadness inside of me and I can give it space and give it more space. And what usually happens with emotions when you give them space instead of compressing them into, you know, a small ball, then they transform. So we should actually do the opposite of what we're usually doing with emotions. We should embrace them and give them space instead of trying to hide them away. Because next time you visit that emotion, it becomes even stronger and stronger and a bigger monster inside of you. So for me in that situation, it wasn't really hard. And it's not because I don't feel anything, it's because I definitely feel it. And then I feel through it instead of avoiding it. And that's the key to dealing with emotions in a healthy way. Embrace them, accept them, and let them go. And you know, a true emotion only lasts between 7 seconds and a minute. The rest is up to you. So if you have an emotion for more than a minute, it means that you are engaged with the emotion. You hold on to it. You start putting feelings into it, and you start to talk to the emotion. And you know,
Like feeding it in a sense,
feeding it
right?
exactly. Yeah, you feed it. You feed the emotion. It's like a fire. You know, you have a torch and you light the torch and it just makes a fire and it dies out. But you feed the flames, and that's what we usually do with emotions, and that's when we become, you know, overly engaged with our emotions, and it's hard to set boundaries because then the emotion tried to set boundaries, and you can't do that. It has to be you with the emotion out here, but you in a neutral space saying, what is good for me? How do I feel? And how do you feel? Your business is your business. My emotions are my emotions and my business. So, as I learned from some Americans, I don't know if it's true, but I heard that some Americans say this, your business and my business and God's business. So we have to mind our business. Yeah.
I like that. I also like how you were talking about boundaries. We may have a boundary and we want to stick to it, but it may not even be like we may want to do something. I know there's been many times when I had a boundary and a goal and I was asked to do something, and in my mind I'm like, oh, I want to say yes so bad, but I know I can't because I've got this boundary set, right? Like I need to say no to this. And then it was like I had to mourn that no. You know, it's not always a negative situation where we have to set boundaries. It's also like you talked about, saying no to taking on extra work. Like maybe we want to, especially you were saying you're writing all the time. That's why I was giggling. It's like because all these opportunities are coming your way and you're having to say no to them because you have a boundary and you need to respect your energy and your time. So it's not always a negative that makes us set these boundaries for sure.
Sure, and it means you look after yourself, and that's also why, as a self-employed, for example, what I've figured out early is that I have fixed prices. If I do a talk, I have a price for up to a half an hour and a half, and 3 hours, and 5 hours, and a whole day, and sometimes, and this is especially the big companies that makes, you know, lots of money. They want to argue, say, "Well, can you do it for a little bit less?" And it's really easy because I don't give in on my prices. And other people, if you're not self-employed and you're listening, well, what is it that you don't give in on? Your time with your family, when you finish work, if you want to take home work with you home, what is it you don't give in on? I don't give in on my prices. So it doesn't matter if it's a customer. It's like, oh, I would love this customer. This would be an amazing customer. If they don't want to pay the price that I find is right, that shows they respect my time and my knowledge, I'm going to say no. And it's really easy because I chose to set those boundaries. So with my time and the price and with the company as well, I also have, some companies where I say, well, because you're, for example, into this and I can't align with this, I'm not going to work with you. Which, so it's my values and we have to be aligned if I have to help you. I was called once by a pharmacy and they said, we want a course in communication. Can you tell our staff in the pharmacy how they can manipulate the customers to buying this drug instead of this? And I was like, I don't think
What?
so. No, you perhaps find somebody else. I'm not going to teach them how to manipulate the customers. That's not for me, So sometimes you just need to know your values, and values I find are really important. Knowing your own values, because it helps you set the boundaries. If you know what your values are, and for example, as people are listening now are saying, I don't know what my values are. Where can I find my values? Well, you can go to my book, Be Your Own Rock. There's an exercise, there's an explanation about values, and you can actually find your own values. And that is your inner compass, when to say yes and when to say no, how to stay true to yourself. And I use my values all the time, setting boundaries so I don't lose myself and I respect myself and my own time. And I always are on track, working towards what makes me happy and what is meaningful in my life. And my values help me with that. So it's really easy for me to say no to things because I know if it's not aligned with my values, that's just a no. And if I'm not true to myself and my values, it's also a no. I would love to help you, but I can't. I have to. And that's the same with, because I'm writing these books and I love writing, I have to have a balance between writing and teaching. So if I have too much teaching and I forget writing, I'm not happy. So I have to balance it all the time. And I know exactly how much time I need for my writing in order to also be happy when I'm out teaching. And if I do too much teaching, I won't have time for my writing. And on the other hand, if I do too much writing, I miss teaching. So it's a balance. And I know exactly how to keep that balance. And it's the same with work. How much work do you say yes to? How many, times do you go out with friends? Do you go to family events where you don't feel like going? Well, it's your time. You only have this life and you only have this time right now. So we need to be present. We need to be true to ourselves and honest. And if it doesn't feel right, to be honest, I don't want you to come to my party. If you don't feel like coming, please don't come. Please tell me you don't feel like it. I'll see you another day. I would hate other people to turn up to my party and they wanted to be somewhere else. And they just came to be polite. And not to disappoint me. Well, I am disappointed if you turn up and you don't feel like being there. I'd much rather that you stay at home, do what you feel like doing, and then I'll see you another time when the time is right. So I think we should really be honest to ourselves and to other people because I don't know, would you like me to come to your party if I don't feel like being there?
No, and I'd be
Just
able to
being there.
feel that. Like you can tell when someone doesn't want to be somewhere, right?
Yeah. We shouldn't do that. We're way
I
too
want you to
polite
come to my
sometimes.
party because you want to be at my party and you want to see me and you want to spend time with me and you want to be in that environment, right? Not because you feel bad if you don't come, right?
Exactly. Because you
And
came
I
to
think
my
a
party, I have to come to yours. That's not how it works. We have to be honest and we have to be true to ourselves in order to be true to other people as well. So really, it can be hard to be true to yourself because you might realize that you are with the wrong person or you have the wrong friends or you're having the wrong job. But it's much better to be honest with yourself now than to postpone it and realize in 20 years where you don't really have the energy or the possibilities to make that big change. So we really have to be honest with ourselves and the choices that we're making.
Yes, I want to ask you about the work that you do and your book. But before that, let's just kind of wrap up on, how to set these boundaries. So I think the foundational work then would be like target the fear. Like, what is the fear? Why am I afraid to say no? And then look at your values. Why is it important to me that I say no or set this boundary? And then Is there, am I missing any pieces?
Maybe just look at if you feel the boomerang effect. Could there be something that can change your mind or make you let go of your boundaries? So the fear, look out for the boomerang if somebody hits you back and try to change your mind. And then watch your emotions when you set the boundary. How does it make you feel? Because you will feel guilty. You will feel as a bad person sometimes, but you're not a bad person. You're a person looking after yourself. And it can be good to also tell yourself that and give yourself some self-love and say, well, good on you. You stood up for yourself. You were true to yourself. You stood by your values. So remember to acknowledge yourself when you set boundaries because you're going to need that for the next time. And again, also, what is really important to say that start small, with easy things, saying, I don't feel like this for dinner, or I'm not going to do the cleaning because that's not going to kill you. The tougher stuff is saying no to your boss, or saying no to a family get together. So start small, practice. See, you can actually set those boundaries, then do bigger and bigger no's or boundaries because we practice and we find out it's not that scary. You can actually do it. I'm starting to feel myself, respect myself. And in that way, you build up the capacity to set boundaries in a good way instead of just, ripping off the band-aid and saying no. And people are like, okay, you just began to say no. Wow. That would be a little bit too much. So, but embracing and accepting the emotions that you feel afterwards is really important. And letting yourself know it's okay. You look after yourself. You stood up for yourself. And they have to deal with their emotions. I'll deal with mine.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Sagar, why don't you talk to us about Be Your Own Rock? That's your book, the one that's your most recent one, correct?
Yeah, it is my most recent one, and it's really all about what we're talking about. But in Be Your Own Rock, people get to understand how the brain works, how our survival mechanism works, what we can actually do to stand firm as a rock. And standing firm as a rock means setting boundaries. So I dive also into the mechanisms that you get caught in when you try to set boundaries. What mechanism is that will let go of your boundaries. And then I talk a little bit about personality types in the book. And we had that on another show as well. If people like to know more about personality types, we did that last time. But in the book, you can find out more about personality types because there's one personality type out of the four that has a harder time setting boundaries than the three others. And it's really good to work out what type are you and get to know your own type. And then you can begin to also see, oh, that is the reason why this is so hard for me, or that is the reason it's easy. So there's so many different things in Be Your Own Rock that all together support you in creating this fundament of standing true to yourself and honest and standing firm in your life and really in the end be true to yourself. That is what the book is all about. And there's a lot of exercises people can do if they feel like it. You don't have to do it. You can also just grab the knowledge and practice in your life and be enlightened by all this knowledge that's in the book. It's all the greatest tools that I know of self-development that I put in the book.
Amazing. Sounds like it's the foundational work that people need, right? The foundation, the basics. I love that it's a workbook too, that you can do the exercises. I know that really helps me process. I like to write things down and I like to really imagine the scenario and put myself there. So that's amazing. Where can we find your book?
Well, it's on all platforms on where you buy ebooks and in America, you can also go into a bookstore and order it as a physical book. You can get a physical book on Amazon and also an audiobook. So you can listen to it when you're on the road. And I think that is a good opportunity as well, because I know a lot of people, they listen to the book or read it, and then they reread it or re-listen to some chapters, because when you begin to work with these things, you realize a lot of stuff, and you get a lot of aha moments saying, oh, now I understand why I'm doing this, or why this happens to me, or it makes it easier for me to deal with this situation, this change in my life, or whatever it is. So people come back and reread the book a lot or re-listen to it. So it's a good way to really work with yourself and become more aware of what's going on inside of you and other people as well. So you become a lot more aware of other people as well, why they react as they do. And if you have children, it's really a great benefit as well, because your relationship with your children can really improve when you understand yourself and understand them as well.
A past episode, you spoke about a situation where someone would go home and their kid, it'd be chaos at home. And I remember that story. It was in a couple episodes back where you were able to shift that gentleman's mindset. And then the way he interacted with his children changed the whole home dynamic.
Yeah.
That was an interesting story you told that day.
Yeah. And that is, I mean, some people think that self-development is hard work and it's tough. It doesn't have to be. I mean, I learned the hard way. I really learned the hard way. But for me, it's better to make it simple and easy, because we learn faster when things are simple and easy. So we don't, sometimes we overcomplicate things, and I try to really bring it down and make it easy to grow and understand what is happening inside. And for this man you're talking about, I mean, he got the knowledge on the Friday. He usually fought with his family. He shouted at his kids. And when I saw him on the Monday, he said, I never ever before had such a great time with my kids. Now I know why I had kids, because they're amazing. And I didn't shout at them even once this weekend. It was just a mind shift. He just needed to see the mechanisms of the brain and how he could actually shift his focus to what was great about the kids, instead of just focusing about they didn't tidy up and they were too noisy and they had too much energy and he was just stressed out. So this small shift of awareness makes a massive difference in our lives. It's just amazing.
Awesome. Is there any last minute thoughts that you have on today's topic before we say goodbye?
The only thing I would love to say is begin setting boundaries, because that's the only way that you become a ninja of setting boundaries and saying no in your life. So if you want to respect yourself more, you want other people to respect you, start slow. And embrace it when you stumble and it doesn't work. And just because we set boundaries doesn't mean that other people are going to respect them. That's not how the world is. But just look after yourself and say, okay, here's a person who doesn't respect my boundaries. I'm going to walk away. So sometimes we practice things and it doesn't work. Then try again, try something different. But hold on and be persistent, because then you will build up your inner compass and you will stand true to yourself and firm inside of yourself and set boundaries and begin to respect yourself more. So it's such important work with this respect. So just get going.
Start doing it. Love it. Well, thank you for being here today. Always so much fun chatting with you.
It was great to be here again, and I hope to see you again soon.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. And to our audience, thank you for tuning in. Please, before you leave today, please like, subscribe, and we appreciate you. And just a quick shout out to Spreaker and iHeartRadio as well. We appreciate your sponsorship. Without you, this is not possible. And I think the big lesson that I'm taking today is that the world will not end if I say no. So I'm going to start practicing more, inspired definitely by this episode. Until next time, my name is Lisa Urbanski. You heard from Cigar Constantine. Bye for now.